Ephesians 6, and we're looking at equipment for the battle. Equipment for battle. Now, we've examined various pieces that we call the, or what God has called in His Word, the whole armor of God. And taking my time preaching on each piece of the armor, because there's a coming a day in each one of our lives when we'll need to know what the whole armor of God is, and we will need to know how to use it. If that day is not already here, it's certainly coming. The truth is, we need to know about and use that armor every day. We don't always think about it. I don't think that we consciously make a note of that when we get up and we get going, but I think it's very important in our spiritual lives. Now, in verses 10 through 14, the saints of God are engaged in a great cosmic battle against the powerful, relentless enemy, and our enemy is the devil. Verse 11, he attacks us by using his wiles, that's his tricks and his schemes and his methods, he uses those to undermine our faith, to attack the glory of God. And God desires that we're able to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against those attacks. He mentions that concept there several times. To stand means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. Of course, biblical standing is the image of a soldier refusing to yield even one inch of ground to an attacking foe. It's the image of a soldier on the defensive, protecting the ground that's already been taken from the enemy. Now, God has blessed us with many wonderful blessings. We have truth. We have His Word. We have our church. We have, and it's really not our church, it's His church. It's His Word. It's His grace. It's His salvation. It's His blessing. And so we have so much that God has given to us. The problem is our enemy, the devil, does not want us to have these things that we've been given by the Lord. And so he'll do everything in his power to try to take away those things from us. And he can't take them from us, but he'll do everything in his power to try. If he can't take it, he'll try to strip the power in our lives. If we would just keep what we have in the Lord, then we're going to have to stand and hold a precious ground. Be that soldier that that takes a stand. And to do that, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And we've already begun to examine some of those pieces of armor. First, we looked at the belt of truth. It speaks of a life that's built upon faithfulness to the Word of God, to the God of the Word. It speaks of our being truth in our testimony, truthful in our testimony, in our living. Certainly don't want to be people that live a lie, that say one thing, but we do something else. But the belt of truth gives us stability, so we're able to stand. The belt of truth provides a place for the other pieces of armor to rest. Without the belt of truth, the soldier of God we'll find other pieces of the armor useless. So our lives and our testimonies must be rooted in and lived out in the truth. Then we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. Speaks of a holy life. Speaks of a life that is lived in conformity to the Word of God. Holy life is a powerful defense against the attacks of the enemy. When we allow sin to dwell in our lives, we give Satan a beachhead, which would allow him to attack us and exploit us. We're not to give place to the devil, it says in Ephesians 4:27. Sin gives Satan that ammunition he needs to attack the glory of God, to destroy, devastate our testimonies, our reputations. Personal holiness, on the other hand, closes the door to Satan, protects us. And then we looked at the boots of peace. When our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it means we're saved by grace and we know it. Nothing can change our minds. Satan can try. He often does this, causes doubt to come in our minds and our hearts. But when we wear the boots of peace, we are sure and secure in our salvation. We cannot be moved. We'll stand. And becomes a hard target for the enemy and his attacks. The boots of peace give us confidence in what the Lord has done for us. Again, we've talked about how having good footing, having the right shoes, having the right boots in the battle. Well, tonight we're going to look at another one, the buckler of faith. The buckler of faith. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, that's a shield, and sometimes it's referred to as a buckler in the scripture. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The word buckler we'll use for the word shield, and we'll see why this is a piece of armor that's so important that the Lord would have, we'll say, above all. You'd think, well, that's where he should start, if it's above all. But no, this is God's order, and so it's important. So we'll look first of all how the shield of faith is designed. Shields were very important to a Roman soldier. There were several kinds of shields that were in use by the Romans during the time period of Paul. Two of those kinds were most commonly used. One was a small, round shield, kind of secured to the soldier's arm by a couple of leather straps. It was used to parry the thrust of an enemy blade in hand-to-hand combat. It was lightweight, but it was not the one that's referred to here. This shield, this buckler, is not just this little round shield. The word here is the word thurios. It comes from the word thura, which means door. This was a large door-shaped shield. These shields were about 4.5 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, and the shield was designed to really stand in front of the whole body of the soldier. Now, you say, well, 4.5, I wouldn't cover the whole body for some here. But Roman soldiers were not known for their height. they were shorter fellows. But it was usually made of a solid piece of wood. It was covered with metal or heavily oiled leather. And a man could almost put his entire body behind it to absorb the javelins, the arrows of the enemy. In case of flaming arrows, very often the arrow would be snuffed out as it was buried itself into the thickness of the shield. And so during the battles, these great shields would often bristle with smoking arrows, like porcupines almost. The shield was curved along its length to provide protection to the soldier's sides as well. The shields were protected by, sometimes, as I said already, a leather cover until they were needed for the battle. The shield was one of the most important pieces of armor that they possessed. Now, when the Roman soldiers went into battle, those carrying these larger shields marched in the vanguard of the army. They marched side by side with their shields together, and this was called a phalanx. Often when the soldiers faced their enemies, the ranks of soldiers which followed the first rank would even raise their shields over their heads. And so the arrows coming in could be they could be protected from. They would butt their shields against those of the first rank, and with the shields of the first rank held side by side and with the following ones holding their shields over the heads, the Roman presented their enemies with a a very difficult barrier to penetrate. Arrows and swords and spears were useless against a Roman phalanx. Any missiles thrown by the enemy would be harmlessly falling to the ground. I read where the Roman phalanx was as much as a mile wide sometimes. It's a lot of soldiers. So that's how it was designed. Well, notice, secondly, how the shield is described. We're told that believers need a shield. A shield we need is not to be one of iron or leather. It's not a man-made shield. The shield we're told to have is a shield of faith. Now, the faith that Paul refers to here is not the body of Christian belief, not the faith. That's important. It's not really talking about the faith. It could be inferred in a sense, but really I think he's referring not to the doctrines that we believe. He's referring to a simple faith in God. Faith refers to a belief in Jesus Christ that even brings salvation. That faith is a very simple faith. It speaks of a daily faith in Jesus that leads to blessing and daily provision, strength. You know, each day we need to exercise or have that shield of faith just to get through the day, to have what we need. It's a very simple faith in Jesus. Simple trust in the Lord that saves us, grounds us, strengthens us, calms us, grows us, establishes us. Faith is necessary. It's a very non-negotiable component of the Christian life. We can't be saved apart from faith in God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our entire Christian life is built upon, sustained by, a consistent believing that God is and that he blesses those who place their faith in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so we all live by some form of faith every day, don't we? You may even drive across a bridge to exercise some faith there. You go through tunnels. You have faith they will not collapse. You turn on the switch, and you have faith that the electricity will come on. We get in our automobiles, we get on airplanes and ships and buses, and we by faith take it that they're safe. And our faith in those things is usually well-founded because they're proven over and over. Well, the faith in the Lord Jesus is far above the everyday faith that we practice when we climb into our car and head down the road. Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. And when our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, our faith is in someone who cannot fail. So the faith of a Christian has power because the object of our faith is all-powerful. And it'll never fail because the object of our faith never fails. So we need to be sure that our faith is in the Lord. Of course, the gospel will save the souls of all who trust and put their faith in its message. The Lord will be a father to all who reach out to him in faith. The word of God will never fail. Faith of the believer in God is never misplaced, but faith in him is essential. It's important if we want to succeed in our walk with him. So the shield of faith is necessary because it provides us with our connection to the Lord. It's necessary because it protects us from the enemy who wants to destroy us. So we've looked at how the faith shield of faith is designed. We've looked at how the shield of faith is described. Notice thirdly how the shield of faith is deployed. The Bible says the shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In ancient times, the tips of the arrows would be wrapped with pieces of cloth that would be soaked in pitch, and this would be to set on fire and shoot at the enemy. When the arrow hit the target, the flaming pitch would splatter in every direction and ignite everything flammable in its path. Arrows would cause damage, and the pitch would cause serious burns. It would burn their equipment, their gear. But this Roman shield, this Roman thureus, would provide adequate defense against fiery missiles. If the shield was metal, the arrow in its fiery tip would be deflected. If it was leather, the leather would be soaked in water prior to the battle, and the wet leather would quench the fiery arrows, protect the soldier. So every day, you and I, as saints of God, are going to be assailed with fiery darts of the devil. Now, these are the arrows he launches against us, the arrows of temptation. And he assaults us with temptation to immorality, to hatred, to envy, to anger, to covetousness, to fear, despair, distrust, doubt, pride, every conceivable sin. Satan is going to come against us continually to attack us and to tempt us to sin. But the fiery darts of temptation, even though they have the potential to inflict great damage, we have that shield of faith that has the power to quench those fiery darts. Now, we all have things that come at us, and we could burn easily, but the arrows fly toward us, and we could say, you know, if God didn't want me to have this, then why did he make me with such a desire to have this thing? That's sometimes called lust and covetousness. And you say, my neighbor has it. He does okay. But we're really just justifying sin when we do that. But then when we have all these things coming at us, then there's the simple faith in God's word. God's word says in Exodus 20 and verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his neighbor's. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. You see, there's the word of God. It can help to deflect these fiery darts because we put our faith in God's word. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And as we believe God's word, the shield flies up, and the arrows fall by the wayside. Again, Satan desires to defeat us. That's very clear. And when we sin, we have to come to believe that sin can provide something for us that God cannot provide. But sin always is rooted in doubt. And when we sin, we doubt God. We doubt God. We disbelieve God. So Satan causes us to doubt God. He leads us into sin against God. And he causes us to justify our sin against God. Now that's what took place in the Garden of Eden. Satan launched his first fiery dart, tempted Eve to doubt God, to distrust his word. And since then, the devil has lit every arrow he fires at people of God with the same fire. He tempts us in the same manner that he tempted Eve. He tempts us all in the same pattern. It's found there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It's also found in 1 John 2, verse 15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, even when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, he deflected those fiery darts just the same way that Eve should have and the way we should. And that's worth the word of God. If we stand for the Lord against the attacks of the wicked, and then we must stand against him holding the shield of faith. Lift up his word together and stand side by side, creating that impenetrable wall that Satan cannot defeat. The word of God, the truth of God, is what we must have, and we see the fiery darts quenched. We must have simple faith in God. Every word is God is pure, it says in Proverbs 30. And it also says there, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Shield and trust, that's a shield of faith. Proverbs 30 5, and verse 5. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a, what's the next word? Buckler. That's a shield to all those who trust him, faith in him. See, there's the same thing is emphasized again. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. You'll find it emphasized over and over, these truths, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is simple trust in God, taking him at his word, believing him in all things, putting him and his will ahead of everything else in life. And so when Satan launches his fiery darts at us, we're able to hold up the shield of faith, and they fall harmlessly to the ground. We trust God, we stand against the attacks of the enemy. Shield of faith. It's more than just a piece of armor. The shield of faith is what makes our lives, our Christian lives, possible. The Lord said, for therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that kind of faith is the very lifeblood of the believer. Shield of faith is a simple, childlike faith and trust in the Lord. So do you stand protected by the shield of faith tonight? Are you rooted and grounded in the truth of his word, ready for the attacks of the enemy? Well, you have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of peace, and the buckler of faith. Very important piece of armor in our stand against the devil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time in the Word. Pray that we will be people who put on the whole armor of God, and how important it is to exercise a simple faith, putting our trust in the Word of God and standing against the temptations and the fiery darts of the devil. Bless us. Bless unto our hearts and our time in prayer now, we pray in Jesus' name.